Today on Real Life Radio.
The all-sufficient Bible is here. Power of God's word is eternal. The only reason why you and I think it's weak is because we don't spend time to extract out of it. It's all powerful. If we meditate on it, it will revolutionize our lives. We have no excuse. God has given us everything.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, the world is moving fast. Our culture's gone through some dramatic changes, and it's not for our good. But most of all, it's not good for our kids. The question is, can our children and grandchildren stand up against those who want nothing more than to eliminate their faith in the Lord? Sounds pretty daunting, doesn't it? But with the right guidance, the next generation can not only thrive in the face of cultural adversity, they can emerge as tomorrow's Christian leaders. It's why our current featured resource is a must-read. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, Ken is also the founder of the Creation Museum, and he knows the dangerous door that's been opened regarding the book of Genesis and how people are looking to compromise our Christian worldview. Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face the Giants is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled The Infinite Love of God. You know, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth and shares with us how we can discover the nature of God in our everyday life. You see, chapter 13 reveals to us that God's very nature is to love. Like twin bookends, the love of God, it's never-ending. And it's so great, it has no equal. Now, this powerful portion of Scripture is extremely important to know for the church to be a healthy and practical place of fellowship and worship. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that as Christians, God's infinite love gives us the assurance that He is coming for us. It's why we've put away childish things and will press on until the day we see Him face to face. Now, with his message called The Infinite Love of God, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When it comes right down to the brass tacks of things, we have to relate to one another. We may argue about this, but the truth is humans relate to humans. There's a fellowship that God has engineered among humanity. And the Bible in all of its perfection has been imparted to imperfect people. And that's strange. But why? God's power will be exhibited. We talked about that a moment ago. But look at verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. The greatest sermon that's ever been preached since Jesus ascended back to heaven is imperfect. Only Jesus preached perfect messages. The gift of proclamation or prophecy, putting forth the word of God, if you introduce an imperfect object into the mix, there's opportunity for failure. Look, the greatest sermon, I have preached some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard in my life. The only problem is no one else has heard them, right? It's after third service. It's in my head all the way home. Why did I say that? Oh, I should have said this instead. Oh, wait, let me change this note. Oh, and if I, too late, I've already preached the third service. I have no other chance. It's over. You see, don't you, it's kind of like hindsight, right? It's kind of like as we get older, we say, boy, if I lived life all over again, I'd sure be smart. If I knew, right? If I knew then what I know now, well, after the sermon, I know how to deliver the message perfectly. It's just the now that I'm concerned about. Why? Because I'm imperfect. This is a perfect word of God and an imperfect object. And what is to come out? Listen, I'm convinced of this. People, you know, what books do you read? Can you recommend books to read? Yeah. And I'm learning something in my old age now, though. I'd rather read books by dead guys. You know why? Because dead guys can't change their minds. If you endorse a book, oh, this is a great author, this is a great book, 5 years from now, the guy could be a lunatic, right? That's why the internet's scary. There's a lot of loonies out there. Be careful. Now, the only book that I'd recommend who the author is alive is this book. He is forever alive. always alive. But our efforts are imperfect. We know in part, and we prophesy or we minister in part, partially, not in fullness, not in totality. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," said Paul. Note this, "for it is the power of God to salvation." Notice it's not Paul, it's the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved," notice, "it is the power of God." Notice, the power is in the message, church. It is a scary day. Listen, are you listening? It's a scary day when somebody says, "Oh, come on, let's go listen to that preacher," or "Come on, let's go, let's listen to that speaker," or "Come on, let's go and..." Watch out. Watch out, because if Paul the Apostle showed up here right now, from what we know from church history, okay, I'm 5'10". He was, according to church history, about 5 feet tall. He was severely bow-legged. He had a few hairs on the back of his head and a big hooked nose. They said his nose looked like a bird's beak. This is church history. We don't know if it's true or not, but that's what's recorded down in those who wrote of him. And the Bible says that his eyes, church history says that his eyes were very close together, and he suffered from an eye disease. We know that from the book of Galatians. His eyes oozed a lot, and he squinted a lot, and he was not attractive. Paul the Apostle. So can you imagine this, like, bird man coming along? And the Bible says that when, the Bible says that when he spoke, his speech was not with any skill. It's like, you hear this guy. Now, Paul in the flesh would walk up and speak, and you'd go, you'd be sleeping in a second. But the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of him. And you see this little guy walking up at the, for example, at the Incredible Theater at Caesarea, and Felix, and all those are gathered around. And Paul walks up there, and he begins to speak. And the whole crowd is convicted. What was going on? The power of the Holy Spirit using the gift that God had given Paul, and the glory was all to God and none to Paul. Yes. Don't you want to see ministry like that again? Yes. I believe if God sends us a revival, we will see ministry like that. The third thing about this is, then, in contrast to our ministry, that is the infinite love of God, is that our offerings are finite to God. In verse 10, "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." So note this, all of this verbiage, in part, perfect, all this stuff, done away, finished, what's he talking about? Now look, you guys, I may step on some toes right now. Please don't get offended and leave. I love you. See, what are you yelling for? Because I love you. I'm excited right now. Don't leave. You got to hear this, because look, this church is a wild place. Why? There are many Catholics in here, Methodists, Wesleyans, there's Baptists in this church right now, there's Lutherans here right now, there's atheists here right now. We already know that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses visit us every service on a regular basis. They're coming. They tell us, we're just checking it out. But we've seen some get saved. There's people from all walks right here right now. So listen, I tell you this for a reason. Verse 10 right here, listen carefully. Verse 10 is a verse that has been very, very often abused. And here's the reason why. When the scripture here says, "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away," immediately somebody will say, well, there are certain gifts of the Holy Spirit that are not in operation today. Really? That's quite a big statement. On what do you base that on? Oh, that verse right here. "When that which is perfect has come, then this will be done away." And they'll say, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. That's cute. That which is perfect. This is perfect. There's no errors in it. That's cute. But if that's true and not the coming of Christ, which is what it's replying or what it's speaking of, implying, then why has preaching and prophesying the word of God not ceased? If this is complete, then has knowledge ceased? If this is complete, then why not all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit? Why have they not ceased? In other words, do you have the gift of evangelism? Do you have a burden and a passion to go share the faith of Christ with other people? Yes. Well, according to that view, you shouldn't have that because that which is perfect has come. Are you with me? You see, what happens is people with good intentions see an abusive use of a gift. For example, have you ever seen goofball preachers on Christian TV speaking heresy? I have. You don't say now the gift of teaching's over. Well, when that which is perfect has come, there's no more. You don't do that, do you? People will say there's no more tongues today, or the interpretation of tongues, or the gift of apostleship. There's no more of that because we can't explain it, and so we don't like it, and we've seen abuses of it. Look, if I were to ask you how many of you have seen abuses of tongues, I mean, we had it here last Sunday. Somebody went off. And that's wrong use of the gift of tongues. This is not the place for that. A person who does that's doing it out of their emotions, not by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God right now is working through the gift of teaching. Would he interrupt himself? He's working right now. There's a place for that. But listen, people have said, no way, that gift does not exist, because I've seen people freak out and abuse it. I understand, but the abuse doesn't negate the gift. Do you understand this? This is important. You're quiet in here right now. You need to know this. God gave all the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be used in the church. And not only that, they're going to increase, especially if you read your Bible, during the tribulation period. It's going to be poured out. The Spirit of God will be poured out on the Jewish people. And those who are converted to Christ during the tribulation period, the scripture says that it will be the ultimate fulfillment of Acts chapter 2 and the outflowing of Joel's prophecy. So we need to be smart about that. I bring that up because when that which is perfect is come is a reference to the coming of the kingdom of God. You won't need these gifts when Christ returns. There'll be no use.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible's very clear to tell us regarding the finite offerings that you and I can give to God. But listen, though they are beautiful, though they are necessary, as we yield ourselves to God's use, we just need to realize that the glory is of him and our time is passing. The Bible says in 1 John, now listen carefully, especially young people today, in 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." He's speaking to believers. "And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed," that's the coming of Christ, either for the rapture of the church or the second coming of Christ, "we shall be with him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." See, what does that mean? That means if you believe Jesus Christ could return today, you're excited about it. Listen, don't say a word. Do not indict yourself. The Bible teaches Christ could come today, or you could die today. A Christian will meet Jesus in a second. Question, are you ready to meet him? This verse says, if you are living in a sense of expectancy, ready to meet Christ, A, you're going to be busy about your Father's business. B, you are ready to meet him. If you're ready to meet him, that means those things that God is telling you to do or not to do, you're obeying him. Right? You're ready to meet him. I mean, look, I kind of have an advantage right now. I'm right now in the middle of God's will right now. If I dropped dead, it would be, wow, that was cool. Now you guys will be going, oh my gosh, he dropped dead in the pulpit. I'd rather die here than in my bedroom. I'd rather die here than in a, you know what I'm saying? You got to die somewhere. Where do you want to die? I'd like to die right here. In God's house with all of you guys. You can watch me. You say, Pastor, you should never talk. Like, that's very, what? I'm going to see Jesus. I would see you fading away, and I would see him, wow. Or there could be a trumpet blast. Bah! Right? Rapture. We're caught up to meet God. All of you people who don't know God, you're going, what was that? What? Are you ready to meet him? The Bible says, all those who have this hope purify themselves. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're sinless. It means that you're walking with him on the path, that straight and narrow way, Jesus said. He wants you to be doing that. And all the while, ministering your gift in the body of Christ and not being a spectator church. You guys, there's just enough people in this section right here to change the world, right there. It only took 2,000 years ago. God wants to shake the world. And if we would approach him and say, Lord, the glory's all yours. I'm yielded to you. Everything in my life's finite. You are the infinite God. You love me. You saved me. Let's go. I think Jesus would roll up his robe, grab you by the hand and say, come on, away we go. What an amazing God we have. The next thing is this, point number two is verse 11 and 12. The infinite love of God in contrast to our entire lives, we have our new beginnings. And the contrast of the infinite love of God in our lives is this, that we have our new beginnings. God's at work. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Every one of us know what he's talking about. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of us don't know what he's talking about right there. It means growing up. Growing up, we have new beginnings in Christ Jesus. His love is infinite, but here's the reality. There's both a sweetness and there's a danger to what he's saying here. Number one, when we're little kids, no one expects much out of us, do they? We're little kids. We talk funny. We have lisp. Or we say words wrong. I still say words wrong. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I can't say that word. But when you're little, you know, words like yellow and lello and blue is boo and all these things. It's kind of, isn't it cute though when it's a little kid? It's very, very cute. And but when they start to grow up, you expect more out of them, right? And it's okay to see a two-year-old saying certain things. But when that two-year-old kind of language is coming out of a 20-year-old, something's fatally, horrifically wrong. Something's terribly wrong. And I wonder how many in Christianity can say, well, Jesus saved me 20 years ago, but you're still talking like a baby. You're still gossiping about people. You have so much time on your hands that you've got time to gossip about people. You have so much time on your hands that you have time to complain. And then there are those who are growing up in Jesus and they ain't got time for that. That's for kids to do because we're pressing onward and we're moving onward with our God. And Paul says at the church at Corinth, you got like a bunch of kids who've taken the gifts of God and instead of using them as tools, you've made them toys. And you're talking about how, oh man, you know what? You should see, I can speak in tongues and watch this and this. And, oh, well, I have the gift of healing, watch this. And it was all messed up. Wouldn't that change much? Huh? You turn on TV, Christian TV, and the guy takes off his Armani suit. He swings the suit in the air. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He's swinging his suit in the air, and as he swings it over the audience, people are falling down and being healed. Of course, you can't prove it. He just says it. And listen, let me tell you, the world looks at that and says, what a bunch of dopes. And I agree with the world. What a bunch of dopes. This is crazy. Remember the Oreo cookie? The love has got to be there. And when that kind of stuff goes on, it only grandizes man. We need to grow up. It's sad that millions of people watch that and go, wow, sign me up. No, we need to start thinking. Paul says, I used to do that stuff, but I grew up. And he uses the word put away, that is to cast off. I put away childish things. Well, you guys, listen, have you ever been to a nursery? Not plants, I'm talking babies. Have you noticed, and it's happened in our lives, when you see the babies, you ever go like, you know, somebody has a baby in your family, and so everybody piles in the car and they all go, let's go look at the baby. Mom's down the hallway, the dad is with us, we're looking at the baby, or the babies, all the babies are there in the room, all these babies. And which one is it? It's funny, we go like this. Well, which one's yours? We're so weird. Watch. Which one is it? That one. Third one over. No, that one. It's a boy, the blue beanie, that one. Oh, that one, watch. Oh, that one. Couldn't recognize the kid. And then the next thing out of her mouth, he looks just like his dad. Have you noticed that? It's hilarious. He looks just like his dad. I bet you he's gonna be an attorney. This is my granddaughter, Emmeline. Okay, see what she's doing right there? See her hands folded? It's time to eat. Here's what she says. Pay. To me, that sounds like pay. It's pray. But she says pay. And you take a, and you pray for the meal, right? You pray for the meal. And before you even get a chance to take a bite, she goes, pray. Okay, yeah, we'll pray. Thank you, God. It's a great meal. Thank you. All right, let's eat now. Pray. All righty then. Thank you. Yes, great meal. And you take two more bites and she says, pray. About 20 times in the meal. It's pray. What? Cute language, pay. But she's going to grow up from that. She's going to say pray eventually. And I just thought I'd throw that picture in there because she looks just like her grandfather, does she not? I mean, look at that. Just like, and so when we look at the baby, we go, oh, and we impose or transmit or place attributes or things. Oh, look, just like her mother, just like her father. I bet you she's going to go to be an engineer. He's going to be up to a pilot. We don't know that. We're just saying it. But Paul is saying, grow up. Grow up in your Christianity. Put away those things that are silly and distracting and foolishness and press on with Christ. It's very exciting. We have new beginnings. Secondly, we have new development. We have new development going on. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. This is a tremendous statement. First of all, circle the word dimly and underline the word mirror. Why? Because Corinth, Greece, was famous for Corinthian brass. You say, so what? Corinthian brass made the best mirrors of the ancient world at that time. Here's the funny thing. You guys, Corinthian mirrors have been unearthed. There's millions of them that have been found. They were shipped all over the known world. In archaeological digs, they've been brought up and they've been brought back to their own luster, their own state of when they were used. Here's the funny thing. You guys ever been to like a fair and they have those goofball mirrors where you walk up and back and yet your head gets big and then your rear end gets big. And if you just position right, your middle's big. You know what I'm talking about? What are those mirrors called? They're really foolish looking things. What's it called? Funhouse mirror. Weirdy, strange looking thing. A Corinthian mirror, that's how it was. That's the best they could do. Actually, the best they could do is look into water. They would use water as a mirror. But you had to hang your head down. So they had a Corinthian mirror, and you had to move it like this, church. You had to go like this to get the... You had to move it around. Are you with me? At best, you could not make out exactly your face. Paul says, we look through a mirror now, dimly. As Christians, listen, you're going to want to hear this. As Christians, we have the Word of God given to us. The all-sufficient Bible is here. The power of God's word is eternal. The only reason why you and I think it's weak is because we don't spend time to extract out of it. It's all-powerful. If we meditate on it, it will revolutionize our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Infinite Love of God. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.